Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now to the movies, to the big screen in fact, to a new perspective on hope and faith in the Australian-directed Hollywood epic Freedom. It launches on big screens around Australia today. The movie focuses on a couple of men separated by almost 100 years, united in their search for freedom. On the one hand, escaping slave Samuel Woodward, played by Cuba Gooding Jr., and on the other, John Newton, the former slave ship captain who found his faith and then authored, of course, the classic Amazing Grace. Here's a little snapshot of the movie.
Captain Newton, so like you, Samuel, confronted by his past, a soul without a compass.
I am a man. Am I not your brother?
Your great-grandfather was on that ship, Samuel. A boy struggling to hold on to hope.
Peter Cousins is that Australian director, a star of the stage and screen, both here in Australia and around the world. And Peter joins us in the Open House studios. Welcome, Peter. And one of the stars of Freedom on the line from the US, Jubilant Sykes. This is his first foray onto the acting stage. He's more famous for this voice.
I'm tossed in this wide world alone.
And there are a number of songs sung on the screen during this movie, Freedom. Peter, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Fill us in a little more on Freedom and the Underground Railway that plays such a pivotal part in this movie.
The journey of our escaping slaves is documented, I expect, and it tells a story of those slaves being guided and saved and moving towards freedom with the help of basically ordinary people with a lot of courage. But their inspiration, if you like, has been determined by the legacy that Newton left 100 years earlier. On Newton's ship, when he was sailing across to Africa with a load of slaves, there is the great-grandfather of one of our escaping slaves. So there is a device there that connects them, and that device is used in such a way that Newton forms a relationship with this boy, and it's part of the catharsis which he has, a spiritual catharsis. His conscience is certainly pricked by what he observes and what he sees and what he experiences and what he oversees on this trip as the captain of a slave ship. And he passes a Bible on to this young boy, who then passes that Bible down through three generations until finally it is in the hands of our protagonist at the very end of the film.
Jubilant, what was your first impression when you were asked to both sing and act on the big screen?
I have to say right off, I was, anytime you're in the arts, it's an opportunity to sort of stretch yourself. But when I heard the call to sing on the film, of course the spirituals are right up my alley. Not only being African-American, but just the message of the songs, just in themselves, the simple melody and the profound story of what they represent. So that was cool. I was up for that. The acting part was something new. I think if I'm really honest with myself, I've always longed to act. But my singing was always the thing. That was sort of my calling card, so I never had the opportunity to do straight acting, as it were. So I was really excited when, I think it was Tim, I met Tim Che, said, hey, you know, would you like to be in this film? I think this part would be great for you. And he sent a script, and then I read it, and I went, boy, I felt like this was made for me, just internally. But there's one thing to think it in your head and your heart, and there's another thing to pulling it off. So long story short, I talked to my wife and said, hey, look at this. She goes, hey, you've been secretly longing to do it. You should go for it. So that was it. I read the script. Days, weeks, months. Peter can tell you how long it was since the first script until we were actually on location shooting. And I got to tell you, it was everything I had dreamt and longed for and more. I had some actor friends. They said, listen, it's going to be harder than you think, and there's going to be a lot of waiting around. So just, you know, don't expect you're creating your own world. You're a part of another, a bigger world. And I tell you, man, I got on the set first day before I walked out. I just said, hey, God, I'm giving you me. This is all I got. Here we go. And I think from an aesthetic place, from an art place, without gushing, it's probably the greatest experience of my life as an artist.
Wow.
There was an intimacy, I think, with the character, and of course with the cast. And I have to say, Peter was really very generous because, I mean, I'd never acted on camera before, and I mean, he was taking a risk by keeping me. But I would do it 1,000 times if I had the time. I really would.
Peter, this movie represents a first on many fronts. It's your directorial debut for a feature-length movie, for instance.
Yeah, it certainly was. I wasn't a stranger to certainly directing actors and forming a relationship with an actor-director relationship with Jubilant, for instance, was easy and comfortable. The other side of the coin was to walk into a world a bit like Jubilant did and saying, "Hey God, hey, it looks like it's my turn. Can you help me through this?" And it really was a little bit of that. It was really a little bit about backing yourself and having some confidence and feeling the sense of great passion for this story and the collaboration that went with that, with the types of people who were involved in the film. And you know, I surrounded with myself with a lot of people who kind of carried me home.
Who, as it turns out, includes one of the world's finest cinematographers in Dean Cundey.
It does. Very lucky. I had lunch with Dean. Loved the concept, a bit like Jubilant, you know, was very interested in this idea of a very serious film about slavery that had all this music in it, these songs. And as it turned out, Dean, yes, he was the cinematographer on Apollo 13, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future films, but he also had a working knowledge of musical theatre and knew every song from Cole Porter to Lloyd Webber.
Wow.
He was, and so you know, he and I got on like a house on fire because obviously that's certainly my sweet spot. Yeah, so
yeah.
We spent a few times at 2 a.m. in the morning serenading the crew while we were setting up for some late night shots. But he was a great mentor for me. I mean, he said to me, "Look, I have." Because I rang him and said, "Look, it looks like I'm going to have to be directing this because of a series of circumstances." And
so that was never the intention?
No, I was basically a music consultant, and then I fell into the position of producing it just through a whole series of events which happens with filmmaking.
Yeah.
People's lives change and move around, and it's over such a long period of time that things happen. So, yeah, and I said to him, "Look, I'm a first-time director. I come from a totally different part of the arts, been around," and he knew who I was and I knew who he was, and he said, "Look, I've mentored first-time directors before," and he cited a woman called Nancy Myers, whose first film was a thing called The Parent Trap.
Oh,
and
yes.
Four or five films later, she was directing Meryl Streep in It's Complicated. So
yeah.
She had an extraordinary journey, mentored by Dean. And I'm not saying that I'm going in the same direction.
We'll take that as written,
yeah,
shall
we? Take that as written.
Yes.
But, you know, he was very generous, very collaborative, and very keen to make this film very much a part of his idea of storytelling as well. I mean, he's a great storyteller as a cinematographer.
Jubilant, what did you learn during this process, outside of the fact that you can clearly act? What about personally and spiritually? How did the making of this story impact you as a man of faith?
Great. Simply for me, I remember maybe a year before I got the script, I was in my home. I was going out of the family room, and I said, "Lord, I want to act." There was nothing on the horizon,
wow.
Nothing. And I literally, honestly, got on my knees. I said, "God, you know, I just want to act." And you say, "Come to you with everything." And there was nothing on the horizon. There was not an inkling or a possibility of anything. I sing. And so, and sometimes in singing, of course, if you're doing an opera or, I mean, there is a bit of acting, but not relying solely on that. And I prayed. And my wife and I, we were laughing with our kids. Just before I went to bed that night, I got on my knees and I said, "Hun, can you pray with me?" And she said, "Yeah." So we prayed. I said, "Lord, I just really have this passion for acting. I don't know what it is." Maybe 9 months later, I got a phone call directly to my house, which was interesting. And it was, again, Tim. And he said, "Hey, come on out. I just knew about singing." So for me, it's God answers prayer. It may be the next day, maybe a year, don't know, but he answers the prayer. Two, slavery, of course, it's my culture, being African-American. I did not grow up in slavery, as in physically being enslaved, but there's still the residue of all of that, what it has meant for my people, but people in general. And even though we may not all be physically slaved, we are all enslaved to something. And through my faith, as a Christian, Christ is the redeemer and the deliverer of all kinds of slavery. There, of course, there's sex trafficking that's going on all around the world. And there are men and women that are being enslaved in horrific situations. And we in America, as well as in Australia, you know, we live in a land of plenty where life is pretty darn sweet. But when you look at the soul of man, when you look at the soul of women, we are all bound by something. And being delivered in physically is one thing, but being delivered emotionally, being delivered spiritually, is something only Christ can do. And for me, that is where I rest in the film. Even though I was not enslaved in chains for my history, physically, we have all been enslaved spiritually. So for that is my compass throughout the film, is knowing that madness of being enslaved. So, hence, that's what I've learned. I learned God answers prayer, and that we are all enslaved, and only Christ has the key to really, truly set us free. And that's where I land, and that's where I live.
Peter, you mentioned the shifting sands of creating this project, that when you started out on a journey, you expected it to be something. And now, at the other end of it, with it about to show on big screens around the world, what is it now that you weren't anticipating?
I wasn't anticipating the power of it to move people in the way it has. I mean, I always found it moving, but you always think that no one's going to see it in the same way you do for some odd reason. And you hope for that. So that's been one thing. The other thing is, essentially, the film tells the story of ordinary people making a difference. Simple idea.
The Underground Railroad.
The Underground Railroad, which is so that concept of actually carrying people to freedom, I didn't realize how much it resonates with those people who are, if you like, committed or even shackled to committed to ending modern slavery and modern trafficking. I run the whole face of human trafficking and modern slavery, and there. Absolute and utter passion for this film and commitment to it, and their belief that, and my joy, in fact, that this film actually can serve what they are doing in a quite a profound way, in bringing awareness and by doing that, helping to prevent this extraordinary activity, which is it's a $35 billion industry that is second to drug trafficking around the world, and we. People are just totally unaware of it, and people who are at the coalface of this have certainly connected with us, and we have gone out of our way to connect with them, because at the end of the film there is a call to action about committing to ending human trafficking. Destiny Rescue are the most fantastic group of people who I've just spent some time with, and they've and I'm humbled by the fact they've asked me to be their ambassador and become an advocate, as so many other people around Australia are. Their work with freeing young girls, particularly in Thailand, from the brothels there is extraordinary.
It's very much the 21st century Underground Railway, isn't it?
It's exactly right, and that's why the film resonates so wonderfully with Destiny Rescue and another organisation called A21, another extraordinary. And they're working in different parts of the world and doing the same and similar sorts of things, trying to prevent, bringing awareness, and also rescuing, So that idea of rescue resonates very much with the Underground Railroad, the idea of really ordinary people, heroes, with great courage going into dangerous areas and saving people and guiding people to freedom. And as, Destiny Rescue kind of implies, changing and rescuing people's destiny. And it's a really... really beautiful and extraordinary organisation, and I'm very, very honoured to be part of it. So to be able to serve that, I think, is the most unexpected outcome. But to be honest with you, it is the most thrilling. And, you know, Jubilant talks about prayer, and he talks about God's work and surprises, I expect. And certainly this is one for me which has sort of been landed in my lap. And to be able to be supportive of that, to be a spokesman for that, to get this film in out into the world where it can make that sort of difference is truly humbling.
The website is themoviefreedom.com, and on it not only the trailers for the movie that you heard earlier, but also a call to action for people who want to do something with this collectively as a church group or as an outreach project or just as a way of harnessing the power of us. Check it out. Congratulations on all that's already been achieved, Peter, even before the first official showing of the movie.
Thanks, Duane, very much.
And Jubilant, thank you so much for your time. All the best.
Nice meeting you, Duane.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.